for the bloodline was cut off. That's why Luke, he goes through Mary's bloodline. And that's why it had to be God's blood in Jesus Christ and not Saint Adam's. Because Caniah's line was cursed, if Jesus Christ would have been brought down through that line, his father would have been Joseph, he would have had cursed blood. He would have had the same blood that you and I have. That's a sinful, of a sinful nature. But because God cursed Caniah's line, then it was picked up through Mary, and God used Mary, and the Holy Spirit conceived in her. Therefore, Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, has whose blood? God's blood. So he doesn't have human blood. That's why you have to have a virgin birth. And that's why it has to exist. If not, Jesus Christ is no better than you and I. We might as well pack our books up tonight and go home. He's a sinner just like you and I, and he couldn't save anybody. He has need to be saved himself. That's the truth. That's a good point. I'll have to look that up. How do you spell that name? C-O-N-I-A-H. Also, it's Jekonah. J-E-C-H-O-N-I-A-H. He's found in Jeremiah, I think. Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah 22, you'll find the curse on Caniah or Jeremiah. Okay, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Jesus Christ is the son of David. Let me help you understand some terms here. People say, well, Jesus Christ wasn't really the son of David. No, that's true. He wasn't actually the son of David. But many meanings... In the Bible, there's many meanings for the word son. A son could be a great, 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 all the way back grandson. Or he could be the direct, you know, step down from the father. Or a son could be a son-in-law. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Joseph and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Was he the son of Joseph? Which was the son of Heli. In one of those, it's the son-in-law. So he wasn't actually the son. He was the son-in-law of Heli. Okay? I'm pretty sure that's how it worked. I didn't make note. I wrote that down. Yeah, he was the son-in-law. Son-in-law of Heli. Okay, and then also in the Bible, a person could be an adopted son. And of course, that's the case of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. And me, and you, you're an adopted son. So that, therefore, John 1, 12 is an effect of your life. But as many as received it, then gave you power to be the what?
The sons of God.
Dan?
I can see it was traced through Joseph from verse 20.
Where?
Matthew
1:20?
The angels.
Well, I thought of these things, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife, for there which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. So what are you saying, John?
So you can see that. The genealogy that they're tracing is through Joseph.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Alright, so Jesus was not even David's direct descendant. So he wasn't really David's son, so to speak. But according to the term that the Bible uses, he was in the direct lineage. He was his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, so to speak, through Joseph and Mary. Alright, in Matthew chapter 1 also, something about the genealogies I want to give reference to before we hang on a little bit, is this. In the genealogy, some of the Old Testament names are spelled different than in the Old Testament. As you look down through, I got a whole list of them we can go through and you can write them down if you want to. What happened is this, okay? There's a term called transliteration. T-R-A-N-S-L-I-T-E-R,
T-I-O-N. Transliteration. And that's to spell in the character of another alphabet. What happens is this. A lot of people say, well, this isn't a real name. It's a totally different person. But you can be able to tell just by looking at some of the names if they're the same names. But Matthew either wrote by the genealogy from records that were written in Greek, or he translated them from Aramaic into Greek. Whereas originally they were written in Old Testament Hebrew. So as he was translating from Hebrew, apparently the alphabets don't match some place and the spelling got messed up, so to speak. But actually it's the same words. If you look down there, for instance, let me give you an example that you can understand. In different languages that we use today, for instance, I'll take Spanish, French, Italian, English, and Greek, okay? We'll take the word Peter in English, okay? If you take the word Peter in English, it's spelled Pedro in Spanish, P-E-D-R-O, but it's still Peter, okay? In French, it's spelled Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, okay? Totally different, because when you transfer from one language to the other, it's transliterated, it's spelled totally different. In Latin, it's Pietro, P-I-E-T-R-O. In English, of course, it's Peter. In Greek, it's Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S. So there's an example that when you go from one language to the other, there's differences in spelling and differences in pronunciation. Therefore, Matthew runs into the same thing when he is transliterating from the Old Testament Hebrew to Greek or Aramaic. He encounters some changes.
I got a question.
Okay, Jim.
Matthew was writing the inspired word of God.
Right,
he is. Not have to transliterate them.
Okay, but when Matthew is taking what has been told him, remember, inspiration is when God tells you something. Preservation is when you write it down. So when Matthew is writing down, he also could be taking accounts that were of the time at the same place. So when he's writing these genealogies, he could be copying the genealogies from an Old Testament history or some sort of other text, okay?
Or he could be just a bad speller like me.
Yeah, it could be too. Or just like me, that's true.
Each one that I found as I read through the Bible, I find it characterizes leaving out certain letters in each different author.
Right.
As he's coming down through it.
That's so true.
It would revert right back to he's writing down what was told him. But he's telling God didn't stop and say, hey, does T-A-G, no matter what.
That's a good point, but probably this is what happened. These genealogies were already marked down. And he was copying, I would say he was copying them from either something that was written down previous. I'm not absolutely positive.
I thought they were all burned.
But if you, yeah, but at that time there was still some history stuff available, okay? Especially his, of course, it's preserved. Now, I'm not positive about this, that's history. I'm not a history, real history buff. But as you find out through here, remember, God's language is Hebrew. So either one of, I don't know, two things. Anybody else got any light on that? What do you think happened? I'm not positive. I'll find out for you.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
You're not going to want to change the spelling.
Yes, that's true, too. But still, there's still a reason for it. It has to be. I'll find out for you and get back to you. Anybody else have anything that they'd like to offer as an opinion?
Is it in the book?
Mm-hmm. No,
I don't think so. It's like they're spelling the way they're sounded out.
Could be.
If he was told to write a particular name, it would just sound it out.
Yeah. I would dare to say that it's probably, and I'm not positive, it's don't put me down. But remember, God's language is Hebrew, not Greek or Aramaic. Maybe God told Matthew what to write in Hebrew. And maybe when Matthew penned it, in order to help the Greeks understand it, he changed it. I'm not sure. I'll find out at that point. Don't take me as quote. Erase the tape on that thing. I'll find out for sure. Okay? That's a good question. Okay? But I know that there's many changes. For instance, look at verse 3. And it's interesting to see some of these changes because it says, verse 3, and Judas begat Perez. Judas there, or look at verse 2. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Well, in the Old Testament, you'll find that Jacob begat who? Judah. It's interesting to see, and this is maybe, I don't know, this has to be of the Lord, because notice that Judah is the tribe where Jesus Christ comes from. It's the line of the tribe of Judah.
Judas, the Bible says, and you'll study Revelation chapter 13 and other verses, John 17, verse 12, and 2 Thessalonians 2, you'll find that Judas was a type of the Antichrist, or is the Antichrist. So it's only, you know, I don't think it's quite a coincidence that when you change it from Hebrew to Greek or Aramaic, that it comes out to be Judas. Because he's a great imitator. Of course, the Antichrist will come and imitate the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So it's not a coincidence that it is written this way. And, you know, there's some other things in here too. The word Pharez in chapter 3 is the word Pharez, P-H-A-R-E-Z, in Genesis chapter 38. P-H-A-R-E-S is P-H-A-R-E-Z in the Old Testament, Genesis 38. Yeah, but if you'll study it, these are Greek spellings of a Hebrew word. I know that for a fact. Ezron, E-S-R-O-N, here in Matthew, is H-E-Z-R-O-N in Ruth chapter 4, verse 18. Tamar, T-H-A-M-A-R, is a woman, and that's T-A-M-A-R in Genesis chapter 38, Tamar. And if you'll remember about her, how many remember the story about Tamar? What is it? Huh? Remember it? Yeah, they had a problem with the family. A real problem with her brother. Okay. Aram, A-R-A-M there, is the equivalent of the Old Testament of R-A-M, and that's found in Ruth chapter 4. Most of the other ones are found in Ruth or similar books. I don't have time to go through, but N-A-A-S-S-O-N is the equivalent of the Old Testament of N-A-H-S-H-O-N. Of course, there it looks like booze, it's Boaz. Boaz, and that's Boaz, who was the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Boaz. B-O-A-Z.
That's not a thing, because how many booze will figure into the Antichrist kingdom?
Really, that's true. Rachab, R-A-C-H-A-B, is another girl in history. Jesus records four girls, which is Rahab the harlot. Isn't it strange Jesus has a harlot in his genealogy? That's found in Joshua. Urias, U-R-I-A-S, is Uriah. Of course, David took his wife and had him killed. Then Rehoboam there is actually Rehoboam, R-E-H-O-B-O-A-M. He's the king. Okay, let's stop there. I remember how preacher used to treat all of our problems that we used to get in class. So I want you to do this for me. I want you to, by next week, to write a paragraph on why was the genealogy changed, the spelling changes from Hebrew to the Greek or Aramaic spelling. I want some of your opinion. I want you to do some research on it for me. What do you believe was the reason why the spelling was changed? Was it inspiration? Here's something that you can think about. Remember, inspiration, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, is this. Holy men of God spake as they were what? Does it say that God spoke to the holy men? No. It said holy men of God spake as they were moved. Amen. For instance, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told to write down or to speak the words, and Baruch was there to write them down. Therefore, what could have happened, just a thought, maybe you can think about this, give me your own opinion on things. Maybe God, one of two things is true. And you just write a paper and tell me what you believe is true. Either number one, God spake through Matthew, and Matthew was repeating what God was telling him in Hebrew, and therefore changed it later on. Or, which I believe this latter is true, that Matthew was using historical data in recording the genealogies. that were written in Hebrew, and he changed them to from the Greek to Aramaic. But you write a paper and you tell me what you feel was the reason why the change. And was it due to inspiration? Was it due to historical facts that Matthew was gathering? And whichever way you believe, tell me why and try to back it up. So we talk. So just give me your opinion on it. In the meantime, I'll try to find out the real answer. I'll do some research. I'll do homework along with you. Joe.
From the Greek to Aramaic.
Well, remember, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Greek was written, or the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic. Two different types of languages, so, you know, take it from there. But what I read today when I was studying, and I think I got it from Wiersbe's notes, was this. Matthew either wrote the genealogy from records that were written in the Greek, or he translated them from Aramaic into Greek, because they're already in Aramaic, whereas they were written in Old Testament Hebrew to begin with. So he translated them. Essentially, that's what it's telling me. But see what you can find. Do some research on it. Senator, yes, sir.
2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture.
All right.
Given by inspiration of God. All scripture.
Okay.
Everything that's written there is given by inspiration of God.
Okay.
And it's there for a reason.
Right. So there's got to be a reason why.
So therefore, they didn't make a mistake.
Right. Amen. There wasn't. It wasn't number one. It was, I don't believe it was a real spelling error. Okay. I don't believe that God is, so able to record a spelling error. Okay. But remember this: there's a difference between inspiration and preservation. Inspiration is holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Perfect example is Jeremiah. God inspired Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the words, and Baruch wrote down exactly what Jeremiah spoke. When Jehudi came along and cut it up with his little five and dime jackknife and threw it in the fire, God told Jeremiah what to speak again, and he added many like words, and Baruch wrote them down word for word, what Jeremiah was speaking, as God moved Jeremiah.
Yeah, but you just got them saying that Jeremiah, that God was Jeremiah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And Baruch wrote them down. As what Jeremiah has spoken. The preservation comes where they're written down. The inspiration comes when God moves the person to speak it.
When preservation comes, what's the point?
Inspiration. So the point is this. In this book of Matthew, in the genealogy, did God tell Matthew to change those names? Or did Matthew look at a historical book that was written in Hebrew and translate them or transliterate them? That's the question in time. Why don't you write your opinion? Joe.
I don't mean to be stubborn, but first thing
I know you are. Go ahead.
The holy man is spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But Jeremiah completely obliterates what that just said.
How?
Because God, it says, thus saith the Lord, God through Jeremiah with the right hand.
So he moved Jeremiah. And then Jeremiah did what? He spoke
it. He spoke
them,
right.
All right. There's the inspiration right there. God moved Jeremiah to speak them. There's the inspiration, and Baruch wrote them down.
But
you're not getting the picture, right?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm putting on the board.
Right on the board.
Right on
the 10-page paper. Yeah. Yes, sir.
What I think the problem is every word in this Bible, it's just exactly the way God wants it.
Amen.
Whether the guy that wrote it thought he was making a mistake, or he thought he was transliterating, it really doesn't matter.
Okay.
And all that matters is it the way God wanted it?
The whole thing comes down to this. If you want a stumbling block in the Word of God and you want to break your neck over it, God will give you a stumbling block to break your neck over it. How many want to break their necks?
Hey, Mike, don't forget about
me. How many want me to break my neck and find out for you? Okay, I'll do it for you.
Mike,
yes, sir.
Way back in Genesis,
I understand.
And just because if he's changing here,
You'll find also this, gang. You're not going to understand everything about the Bible. Know my life verses? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord. And when I have a hard time, I always go to that verse. you'll find that some things you just don't understand. Other things are able to be found, and I'll try to find the answer for you by next week. God used it whatever
he said. Ruckman said, what difference does it make whether it's in German, Italian, or whatever, if you have the receptus? He said that every one of those people had a receptus.
Amen.
He says it wasn't so mechanically, word for word, like what the English was, but it was still the receptus in that language.
Amen.
So it's the preserved word, period.
Amen. Word. Amen. Yeah, see, I believe that. That's not that is the crux of the whole matter, if you want it simply way. But the trouble is, you'll run into people who will want to know the answer to that. And they'll say, how come it's bows or booze when it should be boaz? And they'll want to know an answer. And some of them, I'll take the answer as the inspired word of God, as the authoritative aspect, but you get it in front of a scholar or some guy who wants to nail you for believing the King James Bible is the word of God, they won't take that as an answer. They'll want the answer. And so I think it's my obligation to give you the answer, so I'll find it for you and give it to you. John?
It's not so much that you need the answer, it's just that there is an answer.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's true. That's good. Amen. Okay, let's go on.
I get it now.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't find the answer in the Word of God, we'll just forget it, okay? All right, let's go down and we'll skip the rest of the genealogies. And you'll find as you read Brother Pete's book that there's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, it says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. You'll find, and you have this in Brother Pete's book, that you'll find that it's from one of those, it's 17 generations, but three people have been left out for various reasons. And Brother Pete goes into detail. I don't think it was necessary to cover that tonight for you to find out. But anyways, it's 42 generations total from Abraham to Jesus Christ. And you'll find those other three, and you can write down the references for your own information. I think it could confuse more people than it would help to show that there are three people missing out of the lineage for the genealogy,
and they were out of the will of God.
Yeah, they were out of the will of God. This boils it all down to. They went away from God, and God, death. Matthew 1:16. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Notice the way the Holy Spirit words this text. Through it, it's obvious that Jesus is virgin-born and that Joseph was not his real father. I'm almost positive, I've done a study before, if you take other Bibles, the New ASV, the RSV, that'll change it around so it reads that Joseph is his real father. I'm almost positive that Brother Pete covers that in his book, too. It says in verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It doesn't say his father. The of whom refers to Mary. So he was born of Mary, which protects the virgin birth. Remember this, folks, according to verse 16. It says, Jesus who is called Christ. Jesus is his human name. Jesus is his human name, and Christ is his title. Christ is his title, and the word Christ means anointed one. Now, I don't like, and if you've been doing this, it'd probably be a good practice for you to cut it out. Always referring to Jesus Christ as Christ, and I'll tell you why. You say, well, in Christ's name I pray. You got to be careful when you do stuff like that. I'll tell you why. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 26. A lot of Pentecostals and Charismatics today say, well, we worship Christ today. Or we magnify Christ in our lives. Oh, you can't. It sounds so fishy, I'll tell you. You know, it's like shaking hands with a dead mackerel. You know? We elevated Christ today in our lives. Well, I didn't know we needed an elevator. Luke chapter 2. Where am I? Verse 26, I'm in Mark. Luke 2, 26. Says this, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit here is very, very, very careful to tell you that it's the Lord's Christ. So maybe if the Holy Spirit is that careful to tell you that it's the Lord's Christ, maybe there's another Christ that isn't the Lord's Christ. Look at Acts 4, 26. Acts 4:26. Again, it happens to be 26. That's right. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Again, they're very careful to say it's His Christ. Which means to tell me this. Back in Isaiah, around chapter 7 or 14, around in there, there's a guy who is anointed above the throne of God. He's an anointed cherub. What's the word Christ mean?
Anointed.
And he says, I will, seven times. And what's God do to him?
See ya.
Kicks him out. Alright? So who is this person whose name before was Lucifer? What's his name now? So therefore, when you talk about doing things in Christ's name, you better be careful. Because he's also anointed. Yes, sir.
In Philippians 2, it says that Jesus has been given names above every name. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. That is his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it capital L?
No, why is it capital
L? L, capital O. I'm not positive on it. I'm not an English grammarian. But if you'll find when God wants to make emphasis on something that's written down, like in Revelation chapter 19, when he describes the banner, it says, the Lord of Lords, everything's capitalized. Et cetera. I'm pretty sure that's part of it.
All capitals of God.
King of Kings. Well, I'm just Craig.
The JW run it in the Old Testament. Yes. Say that my Lord sent him his word or so on.
Yeah.
And when you do a study on it, either way it's spelled, it's still the same word.
That's right. Yeah. John?
Rubio takes a yes at the end of Malachi.
Does he? What'd he say?
He goes into it because they got it where they go capital L, little O-R-D, capital G, capital O, capital D. And he says that they're all different. Some of them would mean like the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and some would mean Jesus and
so
God the Father.
Right?
But there's no scripture.
Ken?
Doesn't mean
that? Dave?
put it in.
I didn't hear you weren't there. I'm glad to hear you. Jehovah is capital of the Old Testament and equal to the Lord with small letters. And I've been shown it, but I can't remember where they cross reference.
I'm not positive on that one. You know, I'm not positive about the English language. I have a hard enough time speaking it, let alone writing it and figuring out why it's written the way it's written. But I'll another one I'll check out and try to find the answer for. Okay, so this is, be careful when you say, in Christ's name I pray. In Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Okay, that passage where Satan is called the anointed cherub is Isaiah 14. But there's also other references throughout. Just take your concordance and run the word anointed down. You'll find many references. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. We've got to hurry. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Notice that she was with child before they were espoused. Okay? Before they came together. That means before they had any sexual relationship, she had a child in her. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. Every apostate goes, aha! You see? Joseph was her husband. Therefore, he had to be the father of Jesus Christ. Wrong. I'm sorry. You're mistaken. Because critics try to say that Joseph was the real father of Joseph because the word husband is in 19. But a Jewish man was often called a husband before he had a relationship with his wife. Biblical fact to that is Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 24. Deuteronomy of course, if it was true, Joseph had every right to take Mary out in the middle and publicly stone her because of Deuteronomy 22 verse 20. Remember, they were still under the law. Christ is going to redeem from the law. Joseph, Mary, and everybody else is still under the law. And in Deuteronomy 22, verse 20 says, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of her virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. So if Mary did have relations, and it wasn't of Joseph, and she was espoused, then what they had to do is take her out and stone her. But look at verse 22, and here's where a person could be espoused, or supposedly engaged to a person, and still be her husband. If a man be found lying with a woman, married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both man that lay with the woman, and the woman, so shall thou put away evil from Israel. Verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a what? Husband. Alright, so a betrothed woman can be betrothed to a husband. Alright, now, unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then he shall bring them both out of the gate of that city and shall stone them, etc., etc. So a person can be betrothed to somebody, or engaged, so to speak, if you want to put it in the terms of today, and still be called a husband and not have any relations with him. He can still be a virgin. David.
What if that problem happens to some car? That argument.
A lot of people, a lot of...
I realize they say, but when they say, like, your husband, so you have to be the father, now that's not even true today.
Well, sometimes it is. More than likely it is. Somebody marries somebody because they got a girl pregnant. So therefore they say, you know, well, I'm the husband of this, or I'm the father of that child, so I'm not going to be a husband. And therefore, by using reasonings of today's standard, critics and Bible scholars try to tear down the virgin birth. You'd be surprised how many people don't believe in the virgin birth.
Right.
I mean, you'd be surprised how many religious people teach that from their pulpits, that there's no virgin birth. I don't know what they use, because they certainly can't use the Word of God, because all over the place it just points to the fact that there was a virgin birth. You can't get away from it. Scripture proves it. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of Joseph. You know what it says? No, it says it's of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people, his people from their sins. Who are his people?
Jews.
Can I apply that today inspirationally? Yes. Can that apply to you and I as a lost sinner that needs to get saved? Yes. Doctrinally, can you apply it? No, it's his people, the Jews. Understand? Okay. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. There you go again, the fulfillment. Which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is with God, is God is with us. In verse 22 and 23, this is cited from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A lot of the new Bibles changed virgin to young maiden. New Bibles changed virgin in Isaiah 7:14 to young maiden. Therefore, a young maiden doesn't necessarily have to be a virgin. But a virgin has to be a virgin. At least that's what the terms tell me. Gary?
Is there any effect on
being interpreted God with us?
What else can you do?
That's right, man.
Yeah,
that's right. I don't know of any that I've read about.
Just the word is not in your
way. Yeah, that's right. That's the word to mean that. Joe?
Say, well, the main reason for the double attack is verse 2, not putting aside the virgin birth. But you can't get the Bible, the first time in the New Testament, in the Bible there, it says, which being interpreted, God is God with us. Your King James Bible, the chancellors interpreted what it really meant.
That's right.
And when God wanted it in English, it's there.
That's right.
I've got a list of about half a dozen verses which interpreted in there also.
That's right.
So that's not the point spot.
That's right. That's good. Remember this also about this verse in 22. When they change it to young maiden, remember the Jews require a what?
Right.
1 Corinthians 1:22 tells you the Jews require a sign. What kind of a sign would it be if a maiden had a child?
It's done every day.
Really? It's done every day. St. Mary's, Strong Memorial, Highland, you name it. They put them on every day. St. Mary's. Oh, that's the fun. They do it all the time. All the young maidens go in there and have babies. But for a virgin to have a baby, that's something spectacular, and it's a sign, it's a miracle to show the Jews that he is really the Messiah. Thus fulfilling the Jews require a sign, he's given them one. Craig, you just said something?
Angel of the Lord. Compared to Joseph. The angel of the Lord. Well, let me ask, who is the angel of the Lord? I don't want to step in it right away, but
if you were to take the angel of the Lord and chase it down, you would most definitely find out that the angel of the Lord was none other than Jesus Christ.
All right,
here we go. Here we go.
No, hurry up, Bob, get going. No. The reason I wanted to go there is because until the Spirit descended and abode on him in front of John the Baptist to bear witness with him, up until that time, Christ was sinless, right?
Okay.
Wasn't it the fact that it was God's perfect blood in him that kept him sinless for that time? And it didn't necessarily mean that the Son of God, or Jesus Christ himself actually abode in that body until the time?
He was in the body all along. To say that is. But remember.
Sure.
But he was also compared to
I'll tell you what, Grant. You write me a 144,000-page paper on the omnipresence of God. Folks, that's something I can spend a verse spit and put it off of the body year long. You can't explain that thing. There's just some things you just gotta take by faith. When you get to heaven, I'll tell you what, let that be the first question you bring up to the Lord. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses try to stick at. They try to say, well, if Jesus, if the angel of the Lord is Jesus, and you say he is, right?
Well, yeah.
You have to. I mean, you go through the Bible, all it says, the angel of the Lord do this, the angel of the Lord do this. I mean, no man has seen God at any time. And you have the angel of the Lord appearing at the Lot, and the angel of the Lord appearing at Abraham. All right, so what did he see if he didn't see God? He saw the physical manifestation of God, which is Jesus Christ. So how do you have the angel of the Lord appearing unto Mary and
Joseph,
and talking about a child that's going to be conceived, which is Jesus Christ.
Which is already.
Or how can Jesus Christ be in the manger as a baby looking up and God's in heaven looking down? Well, that's supposed to be all of God. Yeah, really. Well, the real God, please come forward. He is. He's there. You can't explain it. You can't even begin to bring it down into earthly terms. Your mind is so finite. You just can't comprehend it. If you do, you got a better mind than I do. Let me tell you.
Yo, I had a question before that. Before us.
Okay, go ahead. Praise the Lord. I made it 5 bucks. You get it on the snack.
Like, it proves like Matthew was to the Jews because it says in 1819, Joseph being a just man, because they were still under the law.
Yeah.
Because he had to do that to be a just man.
That's right.
He was a just man, so he had gone by the law.
That's right. Another proof. Good job. Remember, I owe you 5 bucks to get me off that trail. No, really, gang, you'll never understand that thing. That's one of the first questions I'm going to run to my Savior and ask him. How? Where? Why? When? You know, you just won't figure it out. It's something that I just believe by faith, as God said it. Try to explain the Trinity. Go ahead. Be my guest. Who wants to take a crack at it?
We went to the
whole... Yeah, see? Yeah, forget it. You know?
Try in the beginning.
In the beginning, yeah. Explain in the beginning for me. Yeah. There's just some things that the secret things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. Jim?
Getting back to the angel of the Lord.
Okay.
In the Gospel of Luke here, it says, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. And then several verses on it defines it as being Gabriel.
Okay. Good.
But it's nonetheless, good. It's angel of the Lord.
Remember, it says an angel of the Lord and the angel of the Lord. Remember, there's a difference, too. So, that's true. It could be Gabriel that appeared unto him and told him. That's true. I never really compared it. Good comparison. But remember, every word is pure, so an and the can be different. Paul.
There are also angels who aren't of the Lord.
Right. Remember, angel let me think if I remember. Angel is an appearance. An angel can be an appearance. Well, let's see, it also can be, there's something else it can be, too. A messenger, okay? But more often than not, it's appearance, okay? Rather than just a messenger. 95% of the time you see the word angel of the Lord, it has to do with being an appearance. And about the other 5%, it's a messenger. For instance, at this time, Gabriel could have been a messenger of the Lord.
Did we ever capitalize an angel? I mean, when they're talking about Christ,
there is a couple, I think, Greg. I think there's some in the Old Testament. Okay, let's finish up. Verse 25. Verse 23. We cover this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, to all you ex-Catholics, Mary did have other children. She was not a perpetual virgin. I'm sorry that comes such a shock.
What?
She did. She was not a perpetual virgin as the Catholics would like to make her be.
She had other children.
Yeah, she had other children. Oh. Her sons are listed in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. I remember showing this to my Catholic priest, who invariably threw me out the door.
Those are cousins.
Yeah, those are cousins. Yeah. They always like to tell them, well, those are cousins, those aren't brothers. Yeah, right, Remember this, the word cousin was in effect at this time. Elizabeth was Mary's what?
Cousin.
If God chose to use cousin to explain, he would have said cousin. But he didn't, he said brother. Gary? Yes, sir. Right. That's my next verse. Look at Mark 6, verse 3 first. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah? All his brothers that are named there. I think they're aunts. They're not sisters, they're aunts. They have aunts. Schofield calls them
cousins.
Of course, the eye, just didn't get it straight.
Heresy.
What
is heresy?
What? Brethren? Same brethren and brother means the same thing. When Jesus says, when Jesus is speaking, and all of a sudden someone interrupts him and says, Jesus, your mother and your brethren are standing outside, he's talking about his mother and brothers. And Jesus says, whosoever did the will of God, to him the same as my mother and my brother and my sister, etc., etc. He's referring to his family standing outside waiting to talk to him. All right, look in Psalm 69, verse 8. Of course, it's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Psalm 69:8. For I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Same thing. Proof Jesus had brothers. Psalm 69, verse 8, that's true. Jim?
Mike, doesn't the Old Testament also give rules and regulations for a husband and wife? They should continue as a husband and wife? Wouldn't Mary and Joseph be violating those laws?
Right, if they broke up, yes, definitely. That's true. Deuteronomy has strict laws of divorce and stuff like that. John?
Also in verse 24, he says, to come unto him his wife. She was already his wife before.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Galatians 1:19 also proves he had brothers and sisters, and also 1 Corinthians 15:7. I also have another one, sorry. Thank you. In Galatians 1:19, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And John 2:17, I don't think that's it. No. Is it John 2:17?
No. 3:3, one of your recalls on this murder.
What?
7:3.
John 7, verse 3. Matthew 15:55? 13:55.
Right.
So, take that to your local Catholic priest and have him chew on that one for a while. Until he comes over. Well, listen, gang, you know, a lot of people that are just, I was ignorant too for 6 months. Great. But be careful when you show them these things, make sure you do it in love. And I mean that. I don't mean that piously either. I mean it. Make sure you have the right attitude when you give it to them. If you're answering and showing them the truth, then you have to show it to them. But don't go around and say, now see here, this is what it says. What are you going to do about it? Uh-huh. You know, you get them back in the corner and they just fuck, you know. It's using the scriptures expediently. Okay, your homework is to read the whole Gospel of Matthew. And read the introduction of the first chapter of Mother Rutherford's book. And I'll work on your paragraph for you.
Amen.
Yeah, right. I've got a lot more sources than some of you do. I know, right?